measures. We're going to open the work session here in a second to introduce committee measures. We have four LC drafts at your spot. When I open the work session, I'll have John just read the explanation of each of the measures, and I'd like to do those in block like we did before. So with that, and then we'll have Grace come up, Director Krennican, for our informational portion of this meeting. So with that, we'll open the work session for introduction of committee measures. John.
Thank you, Chair Starr, and good morning, Chair and members of the committee. We have four measures to introduce. The first one is LC Draft 3673, and it's, believe it or not, it's related to transportation. That's all I'm going to say about it. LC 3623 is related to highway modernization. LC 3613 is relating to registration fees. And LC 3961 is related to motor carriers.
Thank you very much. The Chair now entertain a motion to introduce LC 3673, 3623, 3613, and 3961 as committee bill.
So moved.
Representative Rosenbaum has moved that we introduce LC draft 3673, 3623, 3613, and 3961 as committee measures. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. With that, we'll close the work session, and we will open an informational meeting session. I have Grace come up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Grace Krennican, Director of the Oregon Department of Transportation, and with me is Pete Namas, who's the chair of our Efficiency Committee. I just want to say a few words to the committee and about the Efficiency Committee. This is my last testimony before this committee, as best I know, at this point in time, and I just wanted to thank the chair for good leadership that he's provided and for the committee for being very receptive to ODOT and what we've done. I'd also like to thank members of the audience, representative, former representative John Watt and Bob Montgomery are in the audience, and when I started in this position, Representative Watt was my Ways and Means Committee Chair and Representative Montgomery my Transportation Chair, and they were wonderful to work with because they told us exactly where they stood and where they thought the legislature was and gave us a good point of reference and provided some guiding stars. And when we had problems, we could go to them and explain what's going on, and we received appropriate reprimands and I think we appropriate rewards. And so it was a very good relationship, and I wanted to thank them and thank the committee. When I first started, we were kind of in the soup a little bit. DMV and a few other items were making the papers. And after getting my feet on the ground and talking to several folks and making it through the legislative session, the 97th session, in the 97th session, as you may recall, the bill that contained the revenue piece also contained a number of accountability measures or improvements that the department needed to make. And that some of those steps had to do with the Secretary of State audit and a number of other things. The bill failed. And so what we did at ODOT was just take up the improvements that the legislature had in mind and figured that they had wanted those, and they came pretty close, or at least there was a majority in the House that wanted them. And we started to pursue all of those. But as we did, we also went to the private sector and set up an outside group of citizens to come in to ODOT. And over a long, I asked them to make a year and a half, 2-year commitment, and they've since made, I think, probably about a 3-year commitment, to walk through some of the minutia that, you know, a lot of people just didn't have time to walk through, and look at our agency and kick some tires and talk to the employees and sit through some management presentations. And so once a month for about 4 hours or so, we've had members of the private sector from around the state come. Alan Eberlein is ill and couldn't be with us today, but he's, I think, would feel comfortable with me describing him as a fairly conservative businessman from Klamath Falls. Pete Namas gets the same description from Medford. Pete was a chair, and Alan sort of acted as a vice chair. And these folks came into our department and sat and listened to what we had to say, posed questions back, came up with some ideas, And then we did our best to implement them. And I really want to point out to the legislature that we gained greatly as a state agency because we were willing to listen, but because these people were willing to serve. And the private sector, for the most part, we had some mayors that sat on there, Mayor McLaren from Albany, some county commissioners, and contractors. It was a great committee. But my commission members don't get any compensation for serving as commission members, and they're citizen members, but so too are these folks. They don't get any fancy title. They've just put in a lot of time. And so the legislature helped, I think, in the process, but so too did the citizens. And I wanted particularly those members that weren't aware of, that weren't here back then, to know that this committee has been meeting for about 3 years, I think, and they've done a fabulous job helping us see ourselves. It's just another mirror that we get to look in to see how we look to the outside world and see if we couldn't try some new things. And I'd like to thank the chairman for taking the time. It's been great to get to know him throughout these years. I didn't know him before. He came recommended from a number of different people, and I think he served us well with that, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Pete Namas, and I'm from Medford. ODOT Director Krunican assembled the Efficiency Committee after the 1997 legislative session. And the committee's first formal meeting took place on January 27th, 1998. And I was reflecting back on how many times I've driven to Salem, and I think it's been about 25 times. I was going to count it up, and I just didn't have the nerve to actually find out how many times I drove up here. I can tell you it takes about 3.5 to 3 hours and 45 minutes to make it one way from Medford. I was asked to chair the committee and accepted the charge after being assured by Grace that the committee would have full access to her, her employees, as well as all the facets of the business known as ODOT. I believe the committee was able to get its arms around the agency, and we have a much better understanding of the roles, functions, and responsibilities of ODOT. The Efficiency Committee was actually a third wave of external agency review, paralleling the timelines and efforts of the Secretary of State's audit and the construction and maintenance review conducted by the Dye Management Group, of which I was also a member. Simply stated, our focus was on how ODOT does business rather than what ODOT does. And I think that's important to know, is that we wanted to know how they did things, not what they did. What they did is up to you folks and the commission and the governor. The committee members, many of which are business types, were outsiders, critics. We had legislators. Representative Devlin was a member. We had a mayor, county commissioners. We had a broad range of people that took a look at how best the agency can use the taxpayers' dollar and deliver the best buck. As a retired businessman, the notion of a better return for the tax dollar, my tax dollar, was paramount in my examination of the agency. From my perspective, ODOT is a sound organization. We found no mismanagement, no waste, fraud, abuse, what have you. This finding seems to have been confirmed by all the audits and reviews, as well as the Interim Joint Legislative Audit Committee that was chaired by Senator Timms, Representative Welch, a couple years ago. Additionally, Grace and her agency were quick to correct or at least begin to address issues of concerns raised during our various meetings. I want you and your constituents to know that the men and women of ODOT are an impressive lot. I personally visited all 5 ODOT regions and spoke with at least a couple of hundred employees. I appreciate their sacrifice, commitment, and passion they bring to the job. With that said, as with any large, complex organization, we found areas that needed to be reviewed and areas that needed some considerable work. We offered recommendations in our December of 1998 report to the director on how we thought improvements could be made on how ODOT does business. One was a true product cost initiative. It became apparent that the agency struggles with calculating the true cost of its services and products, and thus construction and maintenance activities. The committee strongly endorsed the direction ODOT has undertaken in developing the true product cost initiative. Next was maintenance. We believed in a performance-based budget for maintenance. The committee recommended that ODOT move toward a performance-based approach where the allocation is based on work levels necessary to attain specific maintenance goals in an area. Regional authority. The committee recommended pushing highway operation responsibility, accountability, and the appropriate decision-making away from Salem to the regions and the districts. This effort is seen as a way to strengthen that accountability structure of the agency. and product management, the committee supported the cradle-to-the-grave approach to project management. Design work, we found too many variations between ODOT regions for design and project management, as well as design team roles, responsibilities, and authority. And the committee recommended a higher level of design work at the time projects go to bid, thus resulting in tighter bids and fewer changes. With regard to central services, we felt the agency needed to streamline, consolidate the number of cost accounting input codes. We felt the DMV should recover the cost of doing business. These were recommendations that we made, and most of these recommendations are in place. One of the things we realize is that in an organization this large, sometimes it takes a while to change your accounting systems and the process and how you do these things. But these, I can say, are in place. We promised to be the conscience of ODOT a couple of years ago, and we have, up to this point, have been the conscience, and they have been following those. A year ago, we continued our operation, and we broke down to look at two areas of ODOT. One was ODOT planning, and the other was central services. And we'd like to talk just a little bit about those. We have reviewed planning and central services function of the Department of Transportation. We've looked closely at the programs and efforts supported in those areas. And I would like to take at this time the opportunity to thank Craig Greenleaf, the Deputy Director for Transportation Development, and Mike Marsh, Executive Deputy Director for Central Services, for the time and effort they dedicated to our committee. Their insights and candor on the vast arrays of issues were very enlightening. For a committee like ours to be successful, we've had to have the input from the people involved. And I will say that the ODOT people, all of them, have been excellent to work with. We don't always agree with each other, but they've certainly been responsive to any questions or what we've had. With planning, we've been impressed with the responsiveness of ODOT to our questions and recommendations related to planning and central services. We've seen some immediate progress in budget cuts. We were involved and endorsed the agency's direction to adjust its programs to match revenue. Overall, transportation development's budget is down by approximately 22% from the last biennium. Now, concern for various planning activities were shared among the committee members, but we realized project development relies on statewide data, policies, plans before you get to the local level. At the local level, the concern we had was that Salem wasn't responsive to local requests. In response to these concerns, the department has merged management of project delivery and is attempting to better serve both local and regional ODOT interests. They clearly know who the customer is. The question still to be answered is, will the customer get better service? And they are certainly, in my opinion, making the attempt to do that. Our committee thinks it's imperative that the local projects are designed with local needs in mind. The legislature needs to follow ODOT and monitor its progress on this issue. We came to understand that TDD, Transportation Development, doesn't design projects. They deliver the statewide planning, which involves data gathering, analysis, and policies. So there certainly is needed some involvement from TDD. What ODOT needs to do better is to integrate this work into the realities that the local communities know so well. I personally get frustrated with the thought of too much planning. What I've come to understand is that ODOT does have a need to look at both statewide planning and the policy framework, as well as deliver projects locally. I feel better knowing that TDD was cut 22% and has had to focus and narrow some activities. There has been a squeeze on that division for some time, a lot of which has come from our committee. Now we need to make sure that no duplication of effort exists between TDD and local project planners takes place in the future. We need to make sure that any statewide planning done will always be relevant to the local level. I do think ODOT has heard the discussion of these issues and will be addressing them. With regard to central services, a couple specific items we had. Rather than one overarching observation, the committee wanted to share its thoughts in four distinct areas related to central services. One is cost-benefit analysis. Current ODOT policies and procedures do not require the completion of a comprehensive cost-benefit analysis before making long-term decisions. This is the lease versus buy, major equipment acquisitions. We recommend the agency engage in a cost-benefit analysis for major financial decisions involving appropriate expertise from the beginning of such reviews. And even they started doing, which we think is a better job of doing this process. In the area of training, Chemeca, the community college, and other Oregon community colleges have indicated a willingness to partner with ODOT to deliver training programs at overall cost savings. ODOT has worked with CCC to identify which ODOT training programs could be assumed by the community colleges. Courses considered include highway maintenance, employee safety, computers, management-related skills. We feel that this is something that during the past year they should complete an evaluation process and commence at least a pilot project by the end of the current fiscal year. But we understand training is important, and we understand that the state does a lot of training, but we thought this would be a way of consolidating some of this training and make it more cost-effective to have it performed maybe at some of the community colleges where different employees of the state could attend this training. A lot of, like, first aid, a lot of that stuff is the same for anybody if you work for DAS or ODOT or Fish and Game or whoever. Credit card use. ODOT doesn't allow for the use of credit cards by all customers due to computer programming costs. This would improve efficiency by decreasing collection costs and may have a positive return on the investment. Consider the use of, our recommendation is to consider the use of credit card transactions for most customer revenue areas. We understand there is a collection cost that should be removed as an offset, but we see an efficiency in that reduction. Collection costs are likely to be realized. It promotes e-commerce, which helps ease the demand of time-consuming face-to-face transactions, and we believe it will provide a good return on the dollar. I'm kind of a dinosaur when it comes to e-commerce and computers, but it's obvious to me the rest of the world is switching to this, and we might as well join the train. And I think we could save some money in doing this, probably with fewer employees. And on the other hand, the end consumer would benefit because they could probably do it at home because we're learning to do those things. So I think that's something that I'm not sure where they are. We haven't talked for a couple of months, but I think that's an area that they could take a look at. Fourth, with surplus property. Some properties owned by ODOT may be sold more quickly if resources could be applied to it. There may be significant return on investment to increase efficiency to increase sales and deposition of surplus property. So a recommendation is to ensure that resources are applied for property management agents to sell property no longer retired. Now, two items that we brought forth that we recommended for legislative review was, one, the studded tire issue. The committee recommends the elimination of studded tires. We understand the elimination of studded tires require change to Oregon law. Thus, we're offering our thoughts today. Based on data around the effectiveness of new technology tires and the dangers and repair costs associated with ruts caused by studded tire wear, we support any effort to advance this concept. We're encouraged by the department's efforts to allow new technological tires as an option to tires with studs in Oregon snow zones, but see this as an intermediate step in addressing this problem. Be assured we understand the emotional nature of the debate. Still, we would ask that the debate be advanced and any bill addressing the elimination of studded tires or fee associated with people using studded tires be looked at. Since we made this recommendation, it's come to my attention, apparently some of the other western states allow studded tires, so it would probably be difficult just to completely ban them, but perhaps they would buy something like a snow sticker, which would take care of the people who previously bought studded tires. And I think even the people who use studded tires feel like if they want them, it probably has some detrimental effect and be willing to pay something. So I think that dialogue hopefully will be advanced and a decision will be made. Fee collection simply stated all fees should recover the cost of doing business. While we understand that the majority of the fee costs are set by the legislature, we strongly endorse the DMV legislative concept related to fee cost recovery. The Efficiency Committee advocated for fee cost recovery 2 years ago and strongly endorses this concept and hopes the Joint Legislative Transportation Committee would favorably receive this related bill. This ID cards, all of these things cost to do. If we want to provide the service and do some of those things, we think that DMV should at least be covered for the cost of providing that. Additionally, we would encourage ODOT to establish a periodic review of costs for services provided and forward these findings to the legislature for the appropriate remedy. In conclusion, we have suspended the committee while the legislature is in session. We believe ODOT has been very responsive to our suggestions and policy changes have been made simply based on questions we asked of ODOT managers in our monthly meetings. Oftentimes, as I said before, we didn't even have to write something up. The idea would come up and they'd be reacting, and then when we came back, they'd already started looking at or making some changes. As the committee has discussed for a long time, we believe we made a difference, or we would have quit attending these meetings a long time ago. And I think that's, I can speak for everyone that's been to most of the meetings, that we felt it's been important because, as Grace said, we're volunteers. We don't have to do it. It takes time out of our schedule. But we do feel that we have made a difference. Certainly there is room for additional improvement, but we believe they can best come from within ODOT and not a legislative fix. I think this is important. One of the problems we have found is the hunker down and ride it out mentality, because they know that every 2 years the rules and priorities will change. A lot of changes were made by the last legislature 2 years ago, and our recommendation is the legislature let the tree bear fruit and see if you like it before you redesign the tree. In summary, I believe ODOT is more efficient because of the efforts of the Efficiency Committee. I believe every agency should have one. And the ODOT model is a good place to start because it works. I'm certainly willing to answer questions or go home.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Namas, for your testimony. Appreciate that very much. Is there questions for either Director Krenickman or Mr. Namas regarding the Efficiency Committee and the report? Representative Nelson?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Krenickman and Mr. Namas. I'm very impressed. And this would be exactly what I would have expected under Grace Krenickman and also yourself. And I'm really looking forward to getting this copy of this report. And I wonder if we could also have a copy of your testimony.
Alan was going to give the testimony today. He wrote his up, so I've kind of had a compilation. I've been sort of ad-libbing mine. I guess I could try to write it up, but I don't really have it in any one good, concise format.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. It's certainly
for
us to be able to share with our constituents what you just said. Thank you.
Okay. We'll get that to you now.
Thank you, Representative Chair.
I have a question about your discussion in the committee on studded tires. So much of the damage is done where people are using studded tires on roads that are not snowpacked. And so I'm wondering if the discussion was done that would say rather than requiring fees on people that need to use studded tires for their safety, such as on the other side of the mountain, if the discussion was that you would pay a penalty fee if you used a studded tire on a highway more in our area where there were not snowpacked, or if you wanted to go to the alternative tire that you can use on both. It seems to me that we're requiring, in that thinking, the fee on the person that is using the studded tire, but not penalizing the person that uses the tire that's doing a lot of damage to the road that's not snowpacked. And I'm curious about that discussion.
We really didn't enter into that discussion. We simply took a look. I think it was costing $14 million as an estimate by ODOT, the damage of studded tires. I think that's really the province of the legislature to deal with the politics and the equity of the issue. I think equity is an important thing. I think if we're going to have a fee on studded tires, everybody ought to probably pay because it doesn't snow all the time. You know, if somebody had studded tires and they live up at Sun River, that's maybe a little different, but somebody driving from Medford to Sun River is a different status. I don't have an answer to that. I think that's up for a dialogue between the legislature and the constituents.
A follow-up, please.
Yes.
Grace, do you agree with the $14 million, or do you think it's more like
$50? Mr. Chairman, Representative Verger, the number that came up with was the number that ODOT had, I think, was once $11 million, has been projected in time to be this $14 million. That number was derived before I got to the department, so it's at least 5 years old. And I think it was derived on some calculations on how much money we actually put into the repair of the roads. I think the damage is probably greater than we actually repair. That is, in a given year, there's more damage than we're able to capture. So I'm not convinced that the science, that we actually put our best science on measuring. I think we did kind of a back of the envelope calculation. And so I wouldn't stand by the science of the number that I think that Pete was, Namas was using the number that ODOT came up with, but we've never been directed to, nor have we found the money or inclination to go out and do a calculation on the comprehensive
annual damage studded tires causes. It was a best guess at the time. Best estimate. I shouldn't say it was just a guess, but it was the best estimate.
Thank you. Representative Donner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pete, I appreciate your efforts and your volunteerism. That's great. You mentioned credit cards, and can you talk more about that? How many maybe were there out, or why did you decide to...
Well, if you go to DMV, we're under pressure, you can't use a credit card. You have to write them a check or give them the cash and these kinds of transactions. Now you can go to Safeway and buy your groceries with a credit card. Our whole society really operates either e-commerce or credit cards. We think that ought to be a look ought to be taken at how to do some of those things to make it easier for the public to purchase these services or whatever, and for the state to account for them.
Do ODOT members have credit cards?
That's a different issue. We're talking about the public using ODOT services.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you went to renew your driver's license, you could use your credit card. Or if you went to buy a license for your car, and you know, the whole area needs to be looked at on how we transact the commerce of ODOT. And what's even more important is this e-commerce thing, to renew your driver's licenses, where you can do it from home, and what you have to use a credit card and have that capability. And we think that's an important to look at.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet. Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apologize for being late to the committee. I'm here to have this session the affliction of having overlapping committees. I just wanted to thank Pete and obviously thank Grace. Known each of you for quite a long time, and let's save my comments about Grace to later. But in Pete's case, I thought it was interesting because in the committee, while we had a lot of people that had a lot of concerns about ODOT, Pete never let the conversation degenerate into personalities be careful how I say this, is sometimes how the discussion got in the Senate and certain discussions. Never on the House. I can talk about my... I really don't talk too much about the lower chamber.
Like it.
But I just wanted to thank you for that because, I mean, there were a lot of people in the committee that had a lot of concerns about ODOT, but it was never allowed to become, in a sense, personal. It was always policy-driven. So...
Thank you. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, want to thank you, Mr. Nomas, for the obvious unselfish contribution that you've made to the efficiency. But I'll have to tell you right up front that I don't necessarily share your view on studded tires. I think that your comments indicate that you looked at them strictly from an economic standpoint, and I feel very strongly that the gas tax that I pay goes towards all the uses of the highway, including that there. But that's a debate for another day. The question that I have is that I hear a lot of comments from people in my district that the ODOT is too large and it needs to be broken up into its separate parts. Was that part of your discussion? And
We never, that was more of a policy issue. After spending 3 years looking at it, though, personally, right now, I would not support breaking it up. I think it's always good to evaluate what it does and what its perfect goal, but right now, I personally, this is not for the efficiency, just my thoughts. I would not support breaking it up at the present.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? No more questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Krenikin and Mr. Namas. Following up on Representative Brown's question, if there were one division of ODOT that might function more efficiently on its own because it could have total, attention or has a single category of service, would that be rail that might possibly live on its own very efficiently?
I really don't have a comment on that. I mean, it'd be such a minor change with regard to ODOT that I really haven't even given it any thought. I think there's some strength in some of these smaller
supposedly smaller parts being part of the bigger organization, but I really don't have an opinion on that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, and to Representative Brown's question, I'm not one to reorganize to solve problems anyway, so I come with a bias. And I've been put in charge of small agencies and been deputies in medium size and in charge of this one. When people leap to organizational change to solve problems, I'm always a little suspect of that. In some cases, I think there are some things that are just very clear you can achieve something. But more than that, we operate, and a lot of you have worked inside big companies before. We operate in a matrix fashion. There are people you report up to, and there's where people that you are connected to. Your success is connected on a sideways manner. And when you make these changes, I would say it takes maybe 3 years to have those changes take effect. I saw that when the PUC, they broke up the PUC and they moved rail and motor carrier over to ODOT. I came after that decision had been made. It was my job just to implement it. But your computer systems are all hooked up to a certain organizational structure, your personnel procedures. As much as DAS, centralizes, and you'll hear more of that, tries to centralize things, and we have standard practices and things, nonetheless, the accounting procedures that are in place for ODOT are probably much more detailed than any other state agency because of the relationship with the Federal Highway Program, and that's true of other state agencies as well. And so I don't know from a legislator's point of view that you can ever imagine how much it takes, how much energy, time, and attention it takes to go accomplish that. And so I would really urge you caution before you make any changes, whatever you think they are in terms of minor. If I just took the question that Representative Nelson raised on rail, I'll just go to the guts of the connection between highway and rail. At the grade crossings, when there's a grade crossing that's there, you want that relationship between the two bureaucracies to be good because they have to decide what the standards are. There are some federal standards that come into play. But what the priorities are, the priority from the highway side may be different than the priority from the rail side. And so it's where those two come together. In my agency, I work very hard to make sure that the rail crossing program, where you spend a few highway dollars on some rail programs, that the relationships are good there so that you can get the best bang for the buck, the best policy decision, the best factual decision. And when you take, I'll use this term affectionately, bureaucrats' time, okay, and I'm a public servant, so public servant, bureaucrat are the same. I don't take offense to that. When you take their time to worry about who they're going to report to, what the new personnel procedures are going to be, who the new boss is, what the new accounting procedures are going to be, and that's what happens when you switch agencies. You burn so much institutional time worrying about stuff that doesn't really matter from the outside world's point of view, but it's like in your job, if someone said, well, we're going to get a new computer system, what's your reaction? I have to learn whole new procedures. That it's an impact on you. When you make those kind of changes, you're telling them their computer system changes, their personnel system changes, the ultimate boss changes. There's just a lot that happens, and so it's a very expensive price to pay. You better be really clear, it's my warning to you, that it's something you think there's going to be such a great gain that it's worth this whole amount of effort and upset. And I'll just to add one other thing. Last session, there were 10 to 12, bills that were passed to accompany the revenue that was coming. Okay, so there was a 5-cent gas tax that was passed, and we passed separate bills as opposed to the 97 session when you put them all together. So Mike Marsh has been very gracious about sitting before you, and I have been modestly gracious about sitting before you, describing Senate Bill 614 and describing Senate Bill 2480, and there are 12 of those things. I reported, we had to have me report to the governor. Aeronautics had to be taken out of ODOT. We had to have a true cost, whatever. Some of those bills, to be honest with you, some of those bills we helped shape a little bit because we were doing something similar. It really takes maybe 4 years to accomplish something. We were 2 years into it.
the legislature thought it was a good idea, so we made you think it was your idea. I mean, it was, but we tried to modify it so that it wasn't so hellacious that we went on. You lost Mike Marsh's time for 2 years and my time for 2 years, basically trying to implement all of the ideas you had when some of them were very meritorious. Others, I'd probably candidly tell you, please, next time, no. But, and you're part of the process, but you lost anything we could have done to improve productivity in other areas. You set the agenda, and I'm not sure, frankly, that the legislature knew what they were getting, and I know there's a lot of work that Mike and I didn't get to, which means the agency didn't get to, because you were meeting your agenda. So when you set it, it really has huge ripple effects inside the agencies. We have people worrying about what technology we should use, what our priorities are there. Since some of you are so new, I know you want your name on something, and that's an important part of this, and I know that we need to be responsive to you, and we tried very hard under my leadership and the people I work with to be responsive to you, but there's a huge price to pay for organizational changes, and the rail is probably one of the minor parts, Representative, that if you move them, it could be contained. But for those 20 people that are there, they will lose a huge amount of productivity in the rail area merely making that switch. And there will be some auxiliary change or some impact on ODOT that remains ODOT if you separate rail out. And the last thing I'll say is, from a policy point of view, the Ports Division in Transportation is in Economic Development. It's not called the Ports Division anymore, but there's a Marine is addressed over there. Aeronautics is a separate outfit. I understand both the technical need and the political need on that count. But trying to maintain interconnected transportation policy for the state, huge gains were made in the 70s when they pulled all those agencies together. And you better be pretty confident of those separate things. Right now, you have to work extra hard to talk to Aeronautics, extra hard to talk to the Ports Division, to make sure that their thinking is involved in yours, because the transportation system is very interrelated. Thank you for the preaching pulpit. I wouldn't have done it had I not been, you know, a real short term.
Mr. Chair, follow up?
Sure.
Is this allowed? Am I okay today to do this
mm-hmm.
at this time?
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to take advantage of this because knowledge is power, is what I figure. And the more I know, the better off we'll be. Ms. Krennikin and Mr. Namas, the process of the STIP, when you have situations that develop relative to the need for safety or economic development in an economically depraved community where transportation congestion has ultimately put your county at a near standstill, especially at certain time periods, which, really deters bringing new industry in because we have a gridlock. Should that procedure be changed so that, you know, it's very important, and I'm delighted that Yamhill County, the Newburgh Bypass, is number 2 on the STIP right now. We don't have anywhere near $18.5 million to begin the EIS program, buying the right-of-ways. We were lucky to scrape up the $815,000 to just get going, and we certainly don't have the millions and millions and if Marion or Yamhill County or anybody ever decides which side of the river it's supposed to be on. But we do have a critical, critical need. So what I'm wondering is, rather than wait 5 years, or at the very earliest, as I understand, even if Gordon Smith and Ron Wyden came through for us for some federal dollars, or 10 years, we need to do something now. So I'm wondering if this process might need to be changed. I understand there are about 3 districts that have this same situation so that we could get some relief right now so that the future of our county is bright rather than as dismal as it is right now?
I'm a short timer also, so I can talk about this. The issue really is ODOT doesn't have enough money to continue as it is. We need to either have a gas tax or something to generate more money, which the committee hasn't dealt with this, report. We need to reevaluate really what we want ODOT to do. ODOT cannot be all things to everybody without having any money. Now, the voters voted it down, what?
85 to 12.
So it's obvious that the people don't want to pay any more money. So it's going to be your job and people like myself to educate them so we can come up with something, because we can't do all those things. We aren't going to have a perfect system if we don't have enough. Now, we looked at this thing to see if, you know, some people told me 2 or 3 years ago, ODOT's got a $2 billion budget. It's got all this money. They're rat-holding it or they're doing this. We never found it. If there's a big pot of gold someplace or a big area where we can save a lot of money, we didn't find it. I don't think it's there. We looked everywhere. So I don't know what the answer. That's up to the Transportation Commission and the government and the legislature. But my thoughts are we just don't have enough money to continue doing all these things. We don't have enough money for modernization. There aren't going to be any new projects for a long time, I see.
Follow up, please.
Yes.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Krenikin, because I want to thank you very much for informing me about the IOF program, and I'm delighted because in three of these communities that are involved in this problem that's really hurting our county, they're going to be able to apply for those funds. And I want to thank you. I would never have known about it had it not been for you. And I think the fourth time we, or third time we met, you said there is a solution somewhere for an interim basis that can bring some relief to the cities that would give them a way to avoid this Highway 99 if a couple of ulterior roads are fixed up. But when it comes to safety, my concern is, wouldn't it be best, I thought, an investment from the county by having an alternate byway that's presently being used as a bypass for that, for this matter. But two county roads connect to a state highway, in this case, 240. And so I'm hoping that that perhaps the state would at least give us some money to cure some safety issues, even though they are county roads, because the problem is caused on the state highway. So I guess I'm asking, I mean, is there some flexibility, because we can relieve this problem to a great deal right now by having a different byway while we're waiting for this massive money from the federal government for a big deal. But at the same time, we can cure safety problems before they happen, like Highway 18 happened, if we could use some state money just for signage, which I understand there's funds available that would help deter part of the traffic on some county roads that are, we don't have to buy right-of-ways, we don't have to do big environmental studies, but working with the county, we could use those monies just on this county road that ultimately, you know, connects with a state highway. All I'm asking is, you know, we've invested in the county roads. We just need a little help to cure some safety problems, and we'll have a temporary interim bypass. Is there any way this could happen?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, at the Area Commission on Transportation, where the county officials and the state officials sit together and the surrounding counties sit, I think that's the best place to take that solution, because you have county resources, and with the county timber money coming in, they have a little bit to offer there. And in terms of ODOT safety programs that we do have and how we prioritize the money, those folks that understand the technical nature of where money can be flexed to a county road and where it can't sit. So I would take any alternative solution there. Some of the safety funds may be flexible. Some of them probably are not. But I would take it to the Area Commission. I have not heard the issue of taking state safety dollars, putting them on a county road, raised as a solution in this case. So I'm not certain what issues there are present and in that area. But I would take it to the Area Commission and start working it. And when I leave here, I'll pass that back to our folks. But in case Dave Bishop, I think, would be a good one to start with inside, and I know that you're familiar with David as well. Thank you.
Thank you. One more question about the Efficiency Committee.
Thank you, Mr.
Thomas,
Chair.
Senator Honor.
Real quick, Grace, in dealing with the feds, we have a tremendous amount of paperwork we have to do. Wouldn't it be easier if we could kind of get away from them a little and be able to take more control of our own roads more? And because I see that, and you talked about paperwork, and I think, is there anything we can do to try to help that?
Chair Starr, Representative Zahner, two things come to mind. One is in the environmental area. We have an environmental streamlining group underway, and I've briefed other committees on this. I don't believe I've come before this committee, but we have, we're trying to keep the environmental bar the same, in a high jump metaphor here, and clear it a little cleaner than we have in the past. And we have the Federal Highway Administration with the National Marine Fisheries, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, other federal partners, and then the parallel on the state level, plus the LCD and the EQ together working on that. And so in that sense, I think we will push that envelope. We've had a very successful relationship with our federal partners. We've been able to turn the dollar and stretch it a lot further on preservation jobs out there. I would remind everyone, though, that the federal, they come with a huge sum of money. I think it's a $450 million a year we get out of them, if I'm not mistaken. And it could very well be, but say $400 million a year. That's a lot of dough. And they do worry about the interstate commerce side of things. And the reason we have the interstate system we have, where you can imagine driving to any state in the union easily except for Alaska and Hawaii, is because of that federal program. And so I think the federal program is changing, not unlike the state, as quickly as it can. As a Fed, we were doing, I was there prior to this job for 3 years, and we were just streamlining processes, you know, unless you want to just go from, and I know many do, you know, to the devolution where they just give the money to the state. I'm afraid if you did that, you might not be able to get, if you'd done that in the beginning and every state could just decide what they wanted to do with the money, you wouldn't have the connectivity that we have with the other states. And so I'm one that stands by. They give the money, they get to set some of the rules, and then we're working at the state level with them, and I know they are working themselves to reduce the number of people it takes to do something, reduce the procedures, the paperwork, and empower us, as we have empowered the contractors in some case, to self-certify on a number of things and then have auditors come in and look, you know, in the hind end. So, Representative Zahner, I think you ought to keep asking that question. I know my committee members need to keep asking that question. And if we just keep at it, but not the whole hog sweep that I think you might be more interested in than I would caution against, but you need people like me, you know, continuing to push at the edges that are climbing inside it. So everyone has a role in this game, and I think the feds are the first ones to admit that it's not that easy and to continue to look. I believe that the program in 5 years, regardless of president and politics and everything else, just the nature of things, is that it will be much more streamlined and we'll have much more authority at the state level to do what we're interested in doing. And some of that variety will be there with what I'll call outcome-oriented federal roles, where they'll say you need to be able to move traffic in such and such a fashion, however you choose to do it as your business. You need to be able to certify that the environment is taken care of. Here are the things you need to worry about. I think that one might take a little bit longer. All the labor requirements, some of those issues, you know, I think in 5 years we'll get there. I do believe we're moving in that direction, and there'll be more outcome-oriented government, both at the state level and at the federal level.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Nellis, thank you very much for your service, the
thank
time
you.
That you invested in this committee. Thank you very much for coming today. Appreciate that. And your commitment to overall good transportation policy for the state of Oregon. Thank you very much.
And I'd like to say one thing. I really appreciate what Grace has done for the department and for the state. I'm terribly sorry that she's decided to resign. I think it's an inopportune time, and I'm sorry to see that happen. One other comment. I just returned from a month in San Diego. And you think we have congestion, you ought to see congestion down there. I saw a 14-lane freeway. I saw cars backed up on Interstate 10 and the Interstate 805. The line must have gone from here to Albany. I was stopped in traffic on a 10-lane freeway where it didn't even move. So we need to kind of evaluate how bad things are. And we think things are bad. And I live in Southern Oregon, and we think we need $200 million for some of these projects because it takes us an extra 30 seconds or a minute to get through an intersection. As a society and a citizen, we need to kind of reevaluate what we really want. And I hope to be part of that process, so thank you very much.
Thank you. And Director Finnegan, if you can stay put, I'll excuse Mr. Namas. And committee, if you'll just hang tight with us for one second there. Committee, you've been given two more LC drafts, as this is the last day for introduction of measures. Legislative Council has been busy working. I'd like to introduce these two as committee bills as well. Representative Zahner, do you have a question?
I'd like to move.
Well, let's enter a work session for the purpose of introduction of committee measures. Representative Zahner?
I would like to move these.
Representative Zahner moves LC draft 3771 and 3137 as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so more ordered. And with that, we'll close the work session for the introduction of committee measures. And then, committee and members of the audience and Director Koenigan, if you'll indulge me for just a minute or two, I have a comment or two I'd like to make. I know some of my committee members have as well. Since this is the last opportunity for Grace Koenigan to appear before this committee as Director of ODOT, I thought it would be more than appropriate to recognize and honor her at this time for her service to the legislature and to the citizens of the state of Oregon. Grace became director at ODOT in May of 1996. As the department's chief executive, she managed a biennial budget of over $2 billion and over 4,800 employees who work in every corner of the state of Oregon, the 10th largest state in the nation. Grace received her bachelor's degree from Gonzaga University in Spokane and a master's in administration from Willamette across the street. From 1979 to 1981, she was a presidential management intern with the U.S. Department of Transportation, working on policy and budget issues. From 81 to 83, Grace was a staff analysis for the U.S. Senate Appropriations Transportation Subcommittee. She handled the budget for federal highway, railroad, transit, and safety programs, as well as the Panama Canal and the St. Lawrence Seaway. In 1984, Grace joined Portland's Transportation Office as Capital Program Manager. 3 years later, she became the city's Deputy Director of Transportation. In 1992, she became Director of the Service Transportation Policy Project, a nonprofit coalition dedicated to implementing the Federal Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act, known as ICE-T. In 1993, until her appointment to ODOT in 1996, Grace was Deputy Administrator of the Federal Transit Administration, where she helped develop 13 major rail projects worth more than $6 billion. During Grace's tenure at ODOT, she led the agency to deliver a better accounting of its activities, improved project delivery, and developed an understandable view of its sources and uses of funds, but that came with a price. As you can recall, Grace, when you entered your first legislative session in 1997, I wasn't a member, but I was in the building. I was staff here as a newly appointed director. Perhaps if you'd known what you'd gotten yourself into, you might not have accepted that job when it was offered. Yes, there were problems that needed to be addressed, policies that needed to be changed. We know, Grace, it was perhaps not always pleasant or a pleasure to be in front of the legislative committee or to endure some of the criticism that may have come your way, and some of which was more than likely and I would say unjustifiable. Most important, it should be noted that most of the policies and operations of ODOT at the time were inherited from a previous administration, but that was a scapegoat never used by Grace Koenigan before any legislative committee. Nevertheless, you did not flinch. Instead, with courage and tenacity, you responded to the legislature's inquiries, requests for better efficiencies, more accountability. What did you do? You created the ODOT Efficiency Committee. As we've heard testimony this morning, I'd like to share a quote from a Klamath Falls news article regarding this committee. It's a quote by Alan Eberlein, who unfortunately couldn't testify this morning. This is what he said. This is a quote from Alan Eberlein. She took 25 of her loudest critics from around the state, put us in one room, and said, "You're the ODOT Efficiency Committee. If you don't think things are going right, let us know." Grace is a gutsy lady. How many people would do that? A quote from Alan Eberlein. continuing to be responsive to the legislature, after the 97th session, Grace requested an audit of the agency by the Secretary of State's office. Under her leadership, there were 10 new major efficiency and accountability measures passed in the 99th session. Grace, you broke new ground and provided an opportunity for public and private participation in the decision-making process of ODOT through leadership and advisory committees in the areas of agency efficiency, freight mobility, environmental and land use, public transportation, and local government. Grace, I believe your greatest contribution to this agency and to the citizens of this state was turning it from an internally focused agency to one that's customer-oriented. In closing, this incident I'm about to talk about, I think best sums up your tenure as director. After the contentious 97th session, you were traveling throughout the state talking to various groups, and while speaking to one group in Klamath Falls, there was an exchange that has been reported between you and an area legislator who was challenging the credibility of your agency. You stood your ground calmly, as usual, confidently, and yes, politely. You asked the legislator to help in changing the credibility of the agency. And this is the quote that was reported that the legislator said, "Perception is different from reality. We all know you work 23 hours a day, and we appreciate it." He continued, "I've been told every day, and I hear it more and more, that Grace will turn the agency around." Grace simply stated, "You did, and we thank you." Your departure, which I regret, I think is a loss. It's a loss to the legislature, and it's a loss to the state of Oregon. I thank you very much for your service. With that, I'll open up the mics to our committee, and then when that's done, I'll have another closing brief statement. Who'd like to go first?
All right.
Representative.
Well, I'd just like to say that when Grace Krenikin and I first met, it was, for my part, instant-like. We met as I was a local official working with her as director of ODOT. I liked her not just because I thought that she was going to really take on a challenging agenda in a state that was growing, but because she gave spinless answers. And the direct honesty that she's known for impressed me then and continued to impress me. She gained the trust of many local officials with this manner, with her spinless answers and with her honesty, and because of that she built up a lot of trust. I would say that she's been truly Grace under fire. I personally will miss her, and I think that our loss is someone else's gain. Thank you.
Hi, Grace. You know,
hi, Ross.
I haven't been here that long, but Grace came to my house and visited with me and spent an hour talking after my election, and no one else has done that. And she's very direct, and I am too, and she gives me straight answers. I'm really going to miss you. I love you. And so good luck. And at the end of this, I want to be able to clap for her. I know we don't do that, but I want to applaud for her, okay?
No problem.
All right.
Representative Devlin.
Yes, Grace, you're the third ODOT director that I've worked with, and I guess now I'm going to work with a fourth one. They've all been different. I think they've all been hardworking people, and you're obviously no exception to that. And I wish I could remember this story accurately. Maybe you could fill in the committee on the accuracy. But I remember this story. I think it was either the 97 or probably the 97 or 99 session, where some legislator had questioned a purchase that ODOT had made as part of its budget, something about a number of trucks, and they said it in kind of a fashion like, "Did you actually purchase this many trucks?" And you answered back in customary fashion, "No, we did not. We actually purchased about, how many was it? About twice as many trucks as the legislature," if I remember correctly. So I've never doubted a word that you said before the committee in terms of your honesty. And I think I've tried to recognize how difficult an assignment it is. We have different assignments like this in state government, and obviously you have a commission to report to, and a governor, and the legislature, and the public, and you have about, 4,700 employees in ODOT. But actually, more than practically any other position like this, problems, or what the public perceives as problems or issues, get focused on the director. I mean, you're like a visible position. I compare you to like a suburban mayor. You know, everybody kind of sees the good portion, but they tend to concentrate on the problems. And so, you know, I think I'll miss you. I'm sure the committee will miss you. I know that you're probably going to go on to better things. It's kind of interesting to me, though, that I'm just wondering how you will change after this, because I won't mention names, but I remember one ODOT director who during the period of time when he's a director had difficulty with public participation in the process, and then after he left being the director, he became this advocate for public participation. Since you've been an advocate for public participation in the process, I'm wondering how you'll change after
that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Starr. Grace, I want to echo the comments that Chairman Starr and the other members of the committee have said, and I haven't had the opportunity to work with you very long, but I'm a real admirer of the job that you have done. As politicians, we like to ask the question that of our constituents if they are better off now than 4 years before or 5 years before, and I think what that was asked of your tender as the director of ODOT, and it had to be a resounding yes, and I commend you for the service that you provided for the state of Oregon and wish you the best.
Thank you.
Mr. Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Krenikin, I had heard so much about you, of course, coming from an area, as you know, where that I come from. And
you thought I had horns, didn't you?
No, I didn't think that, but I was so anxious to meet you, and I believe the first time I saw you in action was at an emergency e-board meeting whenever we were running for election back when, last summer. I was just so impressed from day one. And it's just been wonderful to me that you're an actual factual person. And I've asked you now, and I tell people, I've told all my constituents at all my town halls that, you know, I said I've heard Grace Krenikin. She's been before us four times, and I've asked this question every time, as I did today one more time, and but every time I've learned something, and I think that's what's important. And for us who are new and don't understand, you know, you're taking the time to be here and to fill us in is so critical, because, you know, if we don't know what we don't know, we're not going to get anywhere very quickly. So I'm grateful for that. For your being an actual, factual, contractual type person, and I admire that. You've had an earnestness of purpose, and I can't imagine. I mean, the tremendous pressures, and I'm certain, having come from a management position myself for many years, that there have been some very uncomfortable times. But I've watched you, and I think you're an individual to emulate. You always seem to maintain poise, which is incredible for me. I've learned a good lesson in patience, presence, and poise, and persistence. And you continue to handle each question gracefully. And I admire that. So I know ODOT has pride in the outfit, and they had confidence in your leadership, and wherever you go and whatever you do in the future, anybody who's in that outfit that you're going to be a part of will likewise have that same pride. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that we're losing you.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it's hard to know what to say. I haven't had a chance to work closely with you, but I have had a chance to be in the building during your tenure. And I would just say I can't imagine harder jobs in the state of Oregon and in the last few years than to be state agency heads. And
in that category. I can't imagine one that's harder than the one that you have held. And so I would just add a couple of observations to what my colleagues have said that I have had a chance to witness. And one is your not just your graciousness, but your incredible sense of humor during this period of years that have been so tough. And I particularly remember when I was a lobbyist sitting in the gallery and seeing you with some of your top managers wearing those rat masks that you were wearing at the time that some of the members who were not here may not remember that no one was singing the praises of the agency or of the director, and terms were being thrown around that were very unflattering, and you dealt with it with humor, and it was wonderful, and people talk about it to this day. And the last thing that I would mention is, to me, I've always felt that one of the, probably the best sign of a really good manager is the relationships that they have with not necessarily the board of directors or, you know, people like us, but the people that work for you. And it's been obvious to me, and even more so since I've been on this committee, what incredible respect and affection your employees have had for you during the time that you've been the head of ODOT. And I think that's got to be in large part because you've been such a staunch defender of them and the good jobs that they're doing in this time when the agency has been so blasted by the legislature. And I think that that's a real tribute to you, that you have been able to make them proud of the jobs that they do. And it's just, you know, it pours forth when I talk to people that work at the agency how they feel about you. And so I think that's something that we can all be proud of, and but you in particular have responsibility for. So I thank you, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to turn my attention to Joan Robinson in the back and note that she's struggling to stay awake because she has been working through the night probably for the last week and certainly over the weekend, and to all of those down in Legislative Council who have struggled to produce the bills that we as legislators have sent them, we extend our considerable thanks. Thank you very much to you and your colleagues.
I will pass the word to my colleagues. I know
you're
very grateful. Thank you.
You're most welcome. It is no surprise to me that Grace began her career as a presidential management intern. This is a program that was set up under President Carter to create a domestic equivalent to the Foreign Service to really capture stars coming out of graduate school and ask them to not go off and make $1 million as a lawyer or as a business executive, but instead to dedicate themselves to public service. And thank you for making that dedication to public service. And I'm very grateful that your path of service brought you to Oregon. As my colleague mentioned, there have been few jobs as tough as managing this particular agency over the last few years. You deserve combat pay. And I really extend my congratulations to you and to your family that you'll have a chance to pursue other things than addressing the multitudinous demands that all of us place upon you and your agency. Thank you very much for your service.
Thanks.
Do you wish more committee members?
I have a small bill for a 10-cent gas tax.
Putting that in the hopper, you know, it's just a modest little way to show your appreciation.
A little committee bill. Well, it is my privilege at this time and honor, Grace, on behalf of this committee to express to you a small token of appreciation. That we had made. It says the Oregon House of Representatives commends highly Grace Krenikin, Director, 1996-2001, Oregon Department of Transportation, for her dedicated service to the citizens of the state of Oregon and the employees of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Speech.
Hey, I would like to come on the record if I could.
Mr. Chairman, this is a little surreal, so I hope somebody documented it. I do believe in public service, and it's an underappreciated group of folks that are out there. I'm not speaking for myself so much as the agency people, both the federal and state. And I think somewhere coming out of the 60s, it was considered, and I was only in grade school then, but it was considered a good thing, and somehow by the time we got to the year 2001, public service has been lost as a profession, but I still love it. This has been a very enjoyable time. I know we've referenced to some of the things that have happened over here, but I was a defender of the process, and as some people were taking shots at the agency, it was because of some experiences that have been had in the past and some misunderstandings too, I think. But I am a big defender of the process and of the positions that respectful appreciation for the positions you serve is something I try and instill on the part of ODOT. And I don't take what's said personally. I think that it's a professional discussion, and I believe very much in the executive and the legislative branch having healthy discussions. And I think ultimately this will be healthy. And sure, there were times when it was a little rough, but I think the agency's benefited. And one of the things I did was take the films from the first session and set the agency down and make them look at the questions, because it was hard for the agency to believe you were really asking those kinds of questions. And I did get criticism in the paper for that too, but nonetheless, it was good for the employees to hear, because not every employee has the opportunity to be here. And so it is not, I've appreciated what you said, but been quite surprised by it at the same time, because been a very enjoyable job, and it's a very challenging one. I think the governor has shown great leadership on the transportation agenda, and I think the legislature has tried to show great leadership on the transportation agenda, and they've not, always come together, but that's also part of the process. I'll remind the new members that every one of the 24 pennies we have in place came from the legislature. There isn't 1 cent of the gas tax that was ever voted successfully by the public. So though you're a little nervous of the 88% that's out there that was just voted on, the voters have never voted themselves an increase. It's been the legislature that's had to acknowledge the need. And I also think the governor's leadership and the legislature's leadership, this is when you share on a future for transportation that involves converting the gas tax into something else, is important, because it's dying out as an institution that can help us due to the improvements in the mileage that people get. It's better energy measure consumption. The gas tax is a better energy consumption measure than it is a transportation measure, because you can, in some vehicles, drive 5 times as much and pay the same amount of money, and so it really loses its effectiveness. The commission also, these people have put in countless hours. They get paid nothing. Your respect and appreciation of them has been wonderful. Please continue that. It's very important. The other people that have been mentioned here, and I'm really happy, are the employees of ODOT. They are a very dedicated crew, and in the middle of the night when you're thinking it's great that you're able to tuck in, or when you're worried about someone coming across the path that's your family member, those are our crews. Those are public employees that are out there keeping those mountain passes open for you. Same thing is true at DMV. They keep crime and corruption really in check, because they're looking out for the bad guys, the bad folks with the driver's license, and they're looking out after the auto dealer that's trying to sell lemons and that sort of thing. So that regulatory responsibility is really there for public safety and a service back to the public. Our employees are fabulous. It's been a terrific opportunity. I've had the chance over the last couple of weeks. I've gone around to our various regions just to say goodbye and talk to people at Motor Carrier, DMV, the highway program, rail, everybody, transit. And, to a person, they're very grateful that we're on very good relationship with the legislature, and they appreciate what you have done this session. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't think they know you by name. I try and use your name out there, but I think you've provided great leadership to get on to a good healthy discussion about what the issues are. We can't have everything we want. We know that. Everyone knows that. But moving ahead, this is our part. We may not get a piece out of this session, but it'll set the stage for some corrective action in the future. And lastly, I would say the guy coming behind me is just a wonderful guy, Bruce Warner. I've known him for 15 years, maybe longer, and he's been with Washington County, knows the local government side. He's been with the state, knows what a regional manager is all about. He's going to have a tough job. It takes a while to learn it, and I wouldn't wish anyone to have to learn it while they're supposed to be in front of you, being all smart on what it takes. So be kind to him as he comes forward. Allow him to say, here's my three experts I brought with me. But he's a good fellow, a straight shooter. Work with him. His word's good. And he'll work with folks. And I think you've got a bright future ahead of you. It's really been delightful for me. It's been a good opportunity. I'll be supporting the public process. And I'm looking for a job that's really got as many bullets at it coming, you know, as this one has. My resume says an impossible challenge with an operational organization. And that's what I'm looking for. It's been delightful, and it's nice to see all your faces here. And I appreciate all the dedication that you've shown, as well as some of the lobbyists in the audience that, frankly, have done a good job working with us. So thank you all very much. It's really been delightful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the plaque.
And with that, committee, we are adjourned.